this morning, independent, yet dependent. Huh. Well, there's that. I have hanging here on the front of my pulpit the Declaration of Independence. Because this nation is one nation under God, and it is independent from the mother country, if you will. I got to be careful. My mom is from England. She came over during World War II, and if you knew my mom, you don't want to upset her. Bless her heart. But we are an independent nation from the tyrannical oversight of Britain. And so our forefathers that founded this great nation penned this Declaration of Independence, declaring our independence. We fought the battle. We saw the hand of God. And if you've ever heard of a man named William Federer, he is a historian that has really, really looked into these kinds of things: the Declaration of Independence, the miracles that took place by God that made them literally, that brought them victory and brought in ways they brought miraculous provision of food and all these different kinds of things. I would encourage you to look him up. William Federer is his name. Fantastic guy. But we're an independent nation. We just celebrated 250 years of independence. Amen. And so thank God for that. But I also hold here in my hand a declaration of dependence. Because the Word of God declares that we are dependent upon an Almighty God and the Savior, His Son, to get us through this life. And we sometimes grab on to the idea of independence. And in fact, the world would say to us, we are independent because I don't want anybody to have rule over me. Well, as a child of God, your greatest freedom, your greatest liberty is found in your dependence upon an Almighty God. So God, this morning I pray, Lord, that You would some way anoint me, Lord, to preach Your Word, to declare Your Word in a way that, Lord, it would grab a hold of us and that we would recognize, Lord, that without You we're lost and undone. Lord, without You we are crashing to the ground. Yes, we're an independent nation, but as individuals, we are utterly dependent upon You, our Lord and our Savior. And so, God, I pray today that You would use this Word to set captives free and change hearts and lives forever in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen and amen. 250 years ago, brave men signed the Declaration of Independence. When they signed the Declaration of Independence, really what they were saying was they were signing their own death warrant if it went wrong, if it went bad. They were literally, because they were rejecting at that time the greatest power in the world, the greatest military might in the world, and yet through the provision of God, they defeated that army. And we stand today liberated and independent from all of that. Today, God, I believe, is asking every person to make another declaration. Not that they are independent from a king, but in fact that they are totally dependent upon the King of Kings. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. America's greatest need is not better politics. I'll just let that soak for a minute. We've got lawmakers in Washington, D.C. that spend all of their time and your money coming up with new laws. We don't need any more laws. Let's just follow the ones we've got. Let's just get back to God's Word as a nation under God and follow what this thing was settled on to begin with. We don't need more laws. We don't need better politics. We don't need greater prosperity. Our greatest need has to be hearts that are surrendered and dependent upon the Lordship of Jesus Christ. We might even enjoy many earthly freedoms, but every human being was created to live in complete and total dependence upon God through our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm just trying to get you excited this morning. I don't think it's working. The greatest freedom that a person can experience is not freedom from an earthly ruler, but freedom from sin through complete dependence upon Jesus Christ. This weekend, many, many people have gathered together with family and friends. There have been parades. There's been flag waving. There's been fireworks that lit up the night sky and scared our dogs half to death. I don't know if you're in that camp or not, but boy, I am. You heard stories of sacrifice passed from one generation to the next. I don't know what your views are or what your thoughts are about our president, but I watched him deliver a message last night, and he said, I don't care if I have to wait until 4 o'clock in the morning. I'm going to deliver this message. A message to unite our country. He brought World War II. My dad was a World War II veteran. And when he brought 107-year-old veterans from World War II, on the platform with him to honor them. Amen? I mean, it's because of the sacrifices of men that we'll never know. We have the freedom and the liberty in America, still the greatest place on planet Earth. Still more people trying to get in here than those that are trying to get out. Personally, just a little political ad right here. If you don't like America, leave. Just leave. This is the greatest nation on planet Earth. Try and do the liberals and the I'm just going to preach here this morning. I'm about to get in trouble. There's a lot of people that have come to this nation from other nations, because the nations that they came from were oppressive, and they're trying to make this nation like that nation, and that don't make no sense. That makes zero sense. I mean, I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed, but I understand that. This is the United States of America, one nation under God. If you can't buy into that, then you're probably in the wrong nation, in my opinion. I'll move on. I just had to get that out. Amen. Listen, I'm grateful for the freedoms that we as a nation enjoy. Freedom is a blessing. Freedom is a blessing, but as wonderful as earthly freedom is, there is a freedom that's even greater than the freedom that our forefathers have given us. Our forefathers that go back, clear way back to... If you look at your Bible, you'll go through the Old Testament, you'll find out, you'll understand that the Old Testament is the story of a nation. The way God chose the children of Israel, and He brought them along, and He nurtured them, and He provided for them, and He did all these miracles, and He did things that were just absolutely beyond our imagination to provide for a nation that He was raising up. And when you go into the New Testament, it's not the story of a nation, it's the story of a man. The man, Jesus Christ, the Son of Almighty God. And I'm telling you, He came to live and to die and to make a way for you and I to live in eternity with God. Freedom's a blessing. You can live in the freest country in the world and still be imprisoned by fear. But my Bible tells me today that perfect love casts out all fear. That's what my Bible says. You can have freedom of speech and still be unable to speak peace into your own heart. But I'm telling you, you can have freedom to choose and still be enslaved. Jesus reminds us that our greatest need is not independence from Him, but dependence upon Him. Turn with me this morning to probably the most unlikely passage for the 4th of July sermon that you'll ever hear, but I'm going to do my best to tie it together. I think you'll get it by the time I'm done. By faith, I'm believing it. John chapter 15. I love this bunch. We are the craziest bunch of people. John chapter 15, starting in verse 1. If you're there, stand with me for the reading of God's Word. Would you please? Remember, the message title is Independence, Yet Dependence. John chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, He prunes that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit independent of itself. That's where you need to hear that. Unless it abides in the vine, that's dependence, just for the record. Neither can you unless you abide in dependence as you abide in me. I'm the vine, you're the branches. Who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he's cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you'll ask what you desire and it'll be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. God, I need your help this morning. God, to tie this all together in such a way, Lord, that the intellectual can receive something from your word. Those that are not as intellectual, those that struggle with understanding, Lord, I pray that you would make it the simplest so that everyone, even the littlest child today, can receive something from this message, from your word. God, anoint me with your Holy Spirit, I pray, in Jesus' name. Anoint your people, I pray, in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen and amen. God bless you. Thanks for joining us this morning by way of the internet. I was shocked last week. Dee pulled up this little program on our computer, and there's what was it Bangladesh? Who knows somebody in Bangladesh? They're watching us from Bangladesh, wherever that's at. God bless them. This little church, the Word of God is going. Facebook, top countries, the United States, Bangladesh, India, Indonesia, Pakistan, Nigeria, Kenya, the United Kingdom, South Africa, and Uganda.
Now that, listen, I don't know about you, but that's absolutely crazy to me.
They need to
send us some missionaries, don't they? Here's our top cities. What do you think the top city is? Myrtle Creek! Woo! Myrtle Creek's on the record. We're number one in something. Hallelujah. Facebook. Harvest Christian. Listen, I don't know about the rest of you, but that excites me, man. If that don't get you going, your wood's wet, man. Top cities, Myrtle Creek, Roseburg, Tri-City, Canyonville, Riddle, Winston Green, and St. George, Utah, Sutherland, and 10 Mile. Isn't that amazing? That is absolutely amazing. Thank you. That's just crazy. That is just absolutely is crazy. And you know what? I know, yeah, Colorado, Texas, there are some of these other places that I know that are watching, but here's the crazy thing. COVID, everybody hated COVID. I hated COVID. I didn't like when I had COVID. I didn't like them trying to lock us down. But if it wasn't for COVID, I wouldn't have that. Because I stood against it. I didn't want to be on camera. I didn't want to be on the internet. I didn't want any of it, but look at the lives that are being touched literally all around the world. I don't know how you track that stuff, but thank God for it. That's an encouragement. It is very encouraging to me. Dependence is how God designed us. We are a dependent people. He said in John 15 and 5, I'm the vine, you're the branches. I'm the vine, you're the branches. That's his declaration over us. The branch never argues with the vine. I don't want to produce fruit. Well, too bad, you're connected to the vine. The branch never argues with the vine. It never boasts about what it can accomplish on its own, because on its own, it can't accomplish anything. Everything that the branch needs comes from the vine. It's life, it's strength, it's fruit, it's future. Everything depends upon staying connected. There's a word here that we read over and over. The word is abide. What does it mean to abide? It means to keep in fellowship with Christ so that His life can work in and through us and produce fruit. It involves certainly the Word of God, and it involves confession of sin, so nothing hinders our communion with Him. And it also involves being obedient to Him because we love Him, John chapter 15, verse 9 and 10. So how can we tell if we're abiding in Christ? Is there some special feeling that says, oh, I'm abiding in Christ? No, I would submit to you that there's not, but there is special evidence. There are some special evidences that appear, and they are unmistakably clear. For one thing, when you're abiding in Christ, you produce fruit. Let me just back up to verse 2 just for a minute, because I want to show you something that you probably don't see, because I didn't see it. Maybe you've heard me talk about it before, but in verse 2 he says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit he takes away, and I heard Kathy say ouch. And she said ouch because of her Western thinking.
Because in our Western thinking, when you look at that and you see every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, you think he's taking it away. That's not what it means. If you look it up and understand that the phrase takes away is the word aireo, A-I-R-O, and aireo means to lift up. So the picture then is of the vine dresser, the gardener who is that? I'm the vine. My Father is the vine dresser. So God is the vine dresser. So here's the picture. The picture is that God is going through the vineyard and vines the branches that are not producing fruit, he takes them away. Now, he don't take them out to the burn pile. Here's what he does. He has a little bucket. The vine dresser guy has a little bucket with some water in it. And when the rains came and it beat the vines down and the leaves and everything's done, muck and the, you know, if you've ever been in a vineyard, my dad made a lot of wine when I was a kid. He just made a lot of wine, I'll tell you what. And it was nasty. We may have tasted it. You settle down. Dadgum neighbors, I'll tell you what. But They have this trellis or a grape arbor, and all the vines, they get attached to that and all these kinds of things. But once in a while they'll fall down, and when they do, they get the rains come and water and all the dirt and everything gets mud and on the leaves, and they can't get oxygenated, and they start to wither, and they don't produce fruit. And so the vine dresser comes along and he sees the little, and he picks it up and he washes it all off and he reattaches it to the vine so that it stays up out of the muck and the mire, and it begins to produce fruit again. So I'm just trying to help us. Sometimes we got to read, we got to dig below the surface because we just, you know, and I'm not busting on her at all, but when we it's our Western culture, it's the translation of the word. That word aireo is the same word when they lifted Jesus up on the cross. Yeah. Takes away in our Western culture completely changes the whole idea of that verse. And that's why I wanted to point that out and make that clear to you. He wants us to be productive. Lots of people spend their life trying to prove that they don't need God. That's sad. I've built my own life. I've earned my success. I've solved my own problems. Yet every heartbeat and every breath and every sunrise and yes, every sunset is a gift from God. In Acts chapter 17 and verse 28, it says, "For in Him we live and move and have our being." It's only in Him. My guess is most everybody in this room this morning has a cell phone. That'd be my guess. Your phone might have all the latest features. It might have the fastest processor. But once that battery dies, once the battery dies, the phone stays the same. Right? Stays the same. Problem is, it cannot do what it was designed to do because it doesn't have the power. It can't do what it was designed to do. It wasn't made to function disconnected from the power source. And in the same way, we're created to live connected to God. That's why He sent the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, he didn't say sorry. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. Without me, you can do nothing. And he noticed that that's what he said, but I want to show you this morning what he didn't say. He didn't say, you can do a little. He didn't say, you could do less. He said, you can do nothing without him. Nothing. Human history repeatedly shows people trying to live without God. Go back to the garden. From Genesis on, the temptation has been the same. I can decide what is best for my life without God. No, you can't. The Bible says that we're all like a bunch of sheep without a shepherd, and we all go astray. That's His Word. We can't argue with that. The promise that I can decide what is best. What the enemy offered Eve in the garden has never promised what was offered. He said, you'll be like God. She was way more like God before she bit the apple, or whatever it was, than she was after that. You can go and read it in Genesis chapter 3, but a branch may look alive for a little while after it's cut off from the tree. The leaves will still remain green. The fruit will stay attached, but the moment that limb was separated, death began. It was there, and the evidence will show up in a number of days. There's a lot of people that look successful on the outside while their souls are withering because they are disconnected from Christ. Dependence on Christ produces real freedom. The freedoms that this nation enjoys today is because people paid a price. Men and women paid a price. Depending on Christ sounds backwards to the world. The world says freedom means nobody can tell me what to do. But Jesus says freedom comes when you belong to me. Whom the Lord sets free is free indeed. John 8 and 36 says, therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Freedom isn't merely the ability to choose. Freedom is having the power to choose what honors God. What honors God? How does my life? Sin promises freedom. Instead, it creates addiction. It creates shame. It creates fear. Broken relationships. The list goes on and on. But Christ breaks those chains. It's the anointing that destroys the yoke of bondage. Can I tell you this morning that Jesus does not call us to merely survive? Calls us to bear fruit. You cannot stay attached to the vine, draw from the vine, without bearing fruit. Because that's what the vine produces. The branch gets its nutrition, it gets everything from the vine. And the vine says, produce fruit. I took a big walk the other day, and I walked around this loop, and part of it is on Days Creek Cutoff, and there's wild grapes growing across the creek from your house, brother. And that thing is loaded with grapes. I was like, what in the world? It's wild as a march. I mean, it's just going everywhere. It needs to be, you know, pruned up and all this kind of stuff, but even left undone, out there, it's doing what it was intended to do, and that's make grapes. And it's doing a great job of it. Christ breaks those chains. Jesus does not call us to merely survive. He calls us to bear fruit. What's the fruit? Well, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, lives that point others to Christ. In fact, Galatians 5 and 22 and 23 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Listen, when's the last time you ever made an apple? Or a banana? You don't make them. You can't make them. You can have the best garden on earth, and you're not going to make anything in that garden. You can produce something after a seed of its own kind, but you're not going to make an apple. You're not going to make a peach. You're not going to make a prune or a plum or any. Fruit is not manufactured. Fruit is produced. It grows naturally when the branch remains connected to the vine. And likewise, spiritual fruit is the result of walking with Christ. Have you ever watched a kite? How many of you have ever flown a kite? Those things are a pain in the neck, right? So here's an illustration. If you've ever watched a kite soar high above a field, someone might say, well, if we cut the string, it will finally be free. But the absolute opposite is true. See, the string is not restricting the kite. The string is enabling the kite to fly. The moment you cut the string, the kite doesn't rise higher. It begins to tumble and crash to the ground. It loses its direction when it's cut from the string, and it eventually will fall and be destroyed. People often think that surrendering to God limits their freedom, but whom the Son sets free is free indeed. It doesn't limit, it enhances it. Dependence on God is what allows us to become what He created us to be. He created us. He's challenged us. He's called us to go in. I preached on it last Sunday, I believe, that the fields are white unto harvest. That's what you were created to do, was reap that harvest. Every one of us depends on something. Every one of us depends on something. Some depend on money. Some depend on a career. Some depend on health. Some depend on relationships. Some depend on themselves. The question this morning is not whether or not we depend. The question is, who or what do we depend on? Only Christ is worthy of that trust. He's the only one. This weekend has been about remembering those who sacrificed so that you and I could come into this house this morning under the banner of Christianity, under the banner of Jesus Christ, and not be fearful that soldiers are going to come in and haul us off. Men and women died to give us the right to bear arms and the right to of freedom of speech, to say some of the stupid things that some people say. They have that right. We remember those sacrifices. That kind of sacrifice deserves gratitude. Church, are we a nation that is grateful for the freedoms and the liberties that so often we take for granted? There's another sacrifice that we can never forget, church. It's not the sacrifice of an army. It's the sacrifice of a man. His story is found all through the New Testament. The whole New Testament is his story. The story of Jesus Christ. The story of the Son of God. And we dare not ever forget that. Jesus Christ laid down his life on the cross so that you and I could be forgiven and truly be set free. America's founders secured liberty from earthly tyranny. But only Jesus Christ offers us freedom from guilt, from sin, from death, and from Satan. The Declaration of Independence changed a nation, but the gospel changes eternity. The gospel changes eternity. You can come, Kathy. Worship team. Maybe you've tried to carry life on your own. Maybe you've been independent from God, but the weight has become too heavy. I want you to know this morning that Jesus is inviting you to stop striving and start abiding. Stop striving and start abiding. Abide in the vine. Let what comes through the vine flow through you. You don't have to clean yourself up before you come to Him. Well, I'll come to Jesus when I get all this mess cleaned up in my... No, just come just like you are. He'll clean you up. He'll take care of you. He'll do what needs to be done. Just come as you are. Just trust Him. Some of us have trust issues. Trust Him. Depend upon Him. I promise you this morning, heads bowed and eyes closed, people praying. Your greatest freedom is found not in living apart from Christ, but in belonging completely to Him. My Lord, my Savior, my Redeemer, my Healer, all those things. Truly, this Independence Day, we need to thank God for the freedoms that we enjoy. Freedom to come to this house. Freedom to carry your Bible anywhere you want. Freedom to pray openly. More importantly, we need to remember that the strongest person is not the one who says, "I don't need God." The strongest person is the one who humbly says, "Lord, without you, I can do nothing." Lord, without you, I can do nothing. My prayer this morning is, may our lives declare that while I appreciate and while we appreciate earthly freedoms, may we be reminded that our greatest joy is in living every day in complete dependence upon God. What a God we serve, church. He's a great God. His plan is not to take you away somewhere and put you on a burn pile somewhere. His greatest desire is to pick you up, dust you off, reconnect you to the trellis, and watch you begin to produce fruit as you stay attached to the vine, independent yet dependent upon God. Maybe you're here today. Maybe you say, you know what, I don't feel connected. Maybe you know you're not connected. I tell you that this morning, that God loves you. He died for you. He didn't just die to save you, because if his purpose and his plan for salvation was to just make us go to heaven, I think he'd have just took us when we got saved. But he clearly states in John chapter 15 that he wants us to stay attached to the vine and produce fruit. To produce fruit. This morning, maybe your fruit that's being produced because of someone's prayer, because of God's Holy Spirit working in your life. If you're here today, let me ask you this question. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, I've never accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Maybe you're watching this morning by way of the internet. I don't know. Wherever you are in the world, the same God that we're talking about here is the same God that's there in Bangladesh or India or wherever. And His blood was shed to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. His love for you is not based upon your performance. His love for you is based on the performance of His Son on the cross of Calvary. And I'm reminded of John chapter 3 and verse 16 that says, for God so loved the world. He loved the world and He loved the individual, but He loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. That whosoever, you are whosoever, that whosoever would believe on Him would not perish, but would have everlasting life. It really, really is just that simple. The word believe is a verb. It's an action word. And it means that we believe, but we keep on believing over and over. We believe again and again and again. Every day I believe. Every moment I believe. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, I need to give my life to Jesus. Maybe you've accepted Him at some point in your life and fell off the trestle. The vine dresser is walking through the vineyard this morning and he noticed that you're down in the muck and the mire, and you got mud all over you, and you got dirt all over you, and he recognizes that maybe you're struggling this morning to get the oxygen and all that stuff, and he's here today to gently pick you up, to begin to wash you off, to begin to cleanse you again, fresh and new, and keep you attached to the trestle up out of the muck and the mire. Maybe that's your picture today. And he's saying to you, I'm not taking you to a burn pile. I'm attaching you to the trestle of heaven. You either never accepted Jesus, or you need to be cleaned up and have a brand new start. The greatest thing about Jesus is he offers do-over. Today, if that's you, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand because I want to pray with you. Anybody at all, say, preacher, that's me. I need to recommit my life to Jesus. I see your hand, sir. You can put it down. Somebody else, say, preacher, that's me. Anybody else today? I don't know, maybe somebody online is raising their hand. Obviously, I can't tell, but we have computer people back there that can see. If you write a little message, they can see that you're saying, hey, my hand's up, pray for me. Yes, ma'am, I see your hand. I see your hand. And God sees your heart. God knows exactly what you need. Yes, he does. Anybody else before I move on? Anybody else? Listen, if you raised your hand, I'm going to ask you to come to this altar this morning because I want to pray with you. Come on. It took courage to raise your hand. I know it did. It's going to take more courage to get up out of your seat and walk in front of this church. Come on. Come on.
I am yours.
Come on. Come on.
You are mine.
Proud of you.
I am the branch. You are the vine. Fill me, oh Lord, with your love, divine. For
forgive me, cleanse me, restore me, attach me to the vine, help me to never fall off again, to receive from you and through you, that I might produce fruit unto righteousness, first in my life and then to those around me. Use me, God, by your power, for your glory and for your honor. Write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life, and I'll serve you from this day forward. In Jesus' name, amen and amen, 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 amen. Hallelujah. Listen, if you have a prayer need, if you want to just come to this altar, we've got people that want to pray with you. God is a great God, church.
Amen.
Amen. We serve a great God. We live in the greatest country on planet Earth. Let's keep it one nation under God. Let's keep it one nation under God for His glory and for His honor. Amen. Hey, God bless you. God go with you. Have a great rest of your day. We'll see you back here tonight at 6 o'clock.